Hey, everybody. Before we get started, I actually have a couple of announcements that weren't true at the beginning of this show and was true by the end of it. So first, we do have Payload t-shirts up at store.blizzpro.com. You can find your Payload t-shirts right there. Also, the new Patreon is going to have about a week overlap, so people can start transferring over there. Or if you're wanting to get involved on the new Patreon, it'll be up shortly. Hang out on our Twitter for that. Lastly, I promise, we actually have our own Discord set up for the podcast. This is going to be part of a Patreon perk, but as well as open for any listener or fan of the show or Overwatch player. We've got LFG groups going on. We're sharing our favorite memes, looking at highlights and reviews and competitive stuff, all there on our Discord at discord.me/payloadpodcast. You can head on over there, get connected. We'd love to hang out with you. And that's it. Enjoy the show. This episode of The Payload is brought to you in partnership with Legion by Lenovo and Intel. Find out more about Legion by Lenovo on Facebook and Twitter at Legion by Lenovo.
The podcast for heroes in the world of Overwatch. This is The Payload.
Everybody, welcome to episode 67 of The Payload. We're an Overwatch podcast from blizzpro.com. Today is May 18th, 2017 from Denver, Colorado. I'm John Horstman. With me, of course, is the lovely, lovely Payload podcast crew. First from, who knows, Ville, California. It's Rush. Hey, Rush.
At least you got the state right. Hey, guys. I feel like it hasn't been us three for a while, because the last time we had the show, Jimmy wasn't here. And then last week we didn't have a show. So it's been a while since it's been us three. So I'm excited. And it's almost kind of perfect because there's a lot of stuff to talk about. So I'm glad we're all here together for the show. I'm excited to get into it and I'm ready to talk about all the good stuff.
We do have a lot to talk about this week. We'll talk about why we missed a show in just a second. But first, let's head over to Camarillo, California with Jimmy Bloxham. Hey, Jimmy.
Hey, so good to be back. I was visiting family on the East Coast for a couple of weeks, and it was good to rest and recharge, but it seems like I'm back just in time for quite a bit of Overwatch news, so I'm excited to dig into this and talk about all the stuff that's happened. Basically in the past 2 weeks, it's been crazy in the world of Overwatch.
There has been a lot going on, and we're going to actually skip the normal, "What'd you do in Overwatch this week?" Cause we have some housekeeping announcements, and you know what? I'm going to take the spotlight this week before we start the show. Is that okay? Thanks.
That's fine.
Thank you. So first, let's talk about this. We do have some Patreon updates coming up. We're in the process of getting the Well-Met t-shirts or the Payload t-shirts up on the BlizzPro store. We'll have tweets out as soon as that is done, but I would expect it to be up in the next week. That's first. Second thing, Patreon updates. We're going to be going to a per episode Patreon starting in June. What that means is that when we miss a week, like last week, our supporters don't pay for it, I guess. So thank you all for supporting The Payload, and we'll be more fair going into the future. Now, the big news, why we missed the show last week and all that stuff. So there's some pretty exciting things going on. First and foremost, I'm graduated. So I graduated college, and Even more big news. Sorry, ladies. I am off the market permanently. I asked Katie to marry me this weekend, and she, against all her better judgment, said yes. So, yeah, I'm engaged. It was awesome. I'm not going to do the full story, but I did have her parents in from Hawaii and her sister in from Texas to surprise her. And we hung out at a restaurant, had about 30, 40 of our closest friends and family members. It was amazing. And yeah, so that's why we missed that last week. My family came in for my graduation on Thursday, and I thought I would have time to do the show, and I just didn't have time. So it ended up being a lot. And I found out last minute, no joke, my professor decided to give me a 50 on an assignment that I should have gotten 100 on. And I'm like, I didn't know if I was going to pass that class because I needed to see her better. And that one assignment was 40% of our grade. So that was kind of scary. He just fat fingered it. He Yikes. Clearly must be a, must be a Symmetra main. So,
oh my goodness.
Anyways, that's what's going on this week. That's all the housekeeping and stuff that we have. We're going to go ahead and jump into the news.
This week in Overwatch.
My dog is right here. Hi.
Choji, why are you?
Hey.
Wait, we have a fourth co-host
yeah,
now.
We, yeah.
Thank you. Co-host.
Leave me alone. Leave me alone.
Maybe he'll be nicer to you than Kevin was.
I don't want to pet you right
love
now.
Love you, Kevin.
Anyways, before we get started with the show, we do want to thank our MVPs, Shadow, J.A., Carell, Liam O., Stuart J., and Liang Z. Sorry. I practice pronouncing that. Choji, are you kidding me right now? Jeez. Thank you so much for your support.
I'm normally
the
one with the dog in the background, and now it's you today.
Well, your dog just like is like running around and jumping. Choji's just licking my elbow. Just
what does Choji think of our? What does Choji think of our awesome patrons?
He thinks that despite his rough day, he's so happy to hear about our MVPs and thinks you should head over to patreon.com/payloadpodcast.
Maybe we should throw on like a monthly Polaroid of Choji for the MVPs or the patrons that we'll send out over email.
That would be, my goodness. That's actually a really good idea. We're going to discuss the Patreon after the show, I think, briefly. So we'll bring that up. Anyways, thank you so much again. Patreon.com/payloadpodcast. Let's go ahead and talk about some of the things going on. So there was a lot of speculation in the news about the Overwatch anniversary event, and the speculation period went past, but we actually do have an Overwatch anniversary event scheduled May 23rd through June 12th. There's been a lot teased so far. Rosh, you want to take us through kind of what's been going on there as far as what we've gotten from the Overwatch team?
We've actually gotten a lot. I feel like we had nothing. It was radio silence for what seemed like ages. And then all of a sudden, just thing after thing after thing is coming up with people finding stuff and coding and everything. But what they have officially released is we have three new Overwatch arcade maps teased today. They are through three of the maps that we currently have. So they're not brand new maps, but they seem to be new areas of those maps. The three maps seem to be, I can't remember the three. It's,
Dorado.
Yeah. Dorado, Oasis, and then, Dorado, Anubis. I always mistake those two because they look so, similar, and Eichenwald. And so a lot of people are saying, oh, well, you know, these are not technically new maps. They've already been released, but in the teasers, the areas that they show are just brand new. So it looks like they took the environment of those maps that we already have and opened a new section that we're going to be able to play in. One thing that I do want to say is they said they announced them as quote unquote arena maps, which kind of has everybody speculating, what does that mean? Are they going to be in the arcade? Are they going to be for 1v1s and 3v3s? Are they teasing a new game mode? And nothing has been confirmed there. I can say, though, that there have been some stuff that have been data mined that have been shown through the stuff that that suggests that they're under a new mode. So I think it'll be pretty interesting to see where they go from there. I think a new game mode would be pretty cool, especially coming off of event and stuff. And the 3v3s and 1v1s in the archive modes, it would be kind of fun to have a new one. What they also tease is we have some new voice lines that were teased, which are pretty cool. They have the Lucy OOOs ones. They have Reinhardt that was teased, a bunch of Reinhardts. They have some Sombra lines that were teased as well. And we also have some new dance moves teased. So we had a lot. It went from nothing to a lot, and it's all coming out, and I'm super excited for it. And I think it's going to be reason enough to open quite a few loot boxes to get these cool stuff.
Right. Oh my goodness, you're opening loot boxes?
It depends. It really depends. I need to see the dance moves, but if there's a Mercy dance, I think that justifies some loot box openings.
Yeah. I just want to say about this, I really am enjoying their kind of rollout of information on this. It's kind of a slow burn a little bit. I mean, it started big yesterday with the 1 year anniversary video, which was super cool. And I couldn't help but get a little emotional watching it, because it was like, holy crap, they've put out all this awesome content since the launch of the game, which is crazy to think. And that's been just a little under a year now, coming up on the year, obviously, with the event. At first I thought, oh, we're going to see, like, they're going to show everything in the anniversary event. And I was watching the video. I was like, oh, it's just a recap of the first year. And then they showed the logo for the anniversary event and the dates. And I was like, that was a really good tease. Cause now I'm all like hyped over it.
I actually teared up when I watched the video. I was like, watched it. And I was like, oh, this is going to be cool. It's going to be kind of cheesy. But I actually turned the game or the sound, the backtrack to the game off when I play my games, because I find that it distracts from the sound and the environmental sounds that I need in the game. So whenever I watch those kind of videos that they produce and they let out, and it has that background soundtrack to Overwatch, it gives me chills, because I remember playing in the open beta a year ago and having that always on. So I totally teared up during the anniversary video. It was cool.
I mean, It took me back to BlizzCon and seeing the Sombra reveal there. And Heather, my girlfriend, will attest to this. I started the second the video like started freaking out. I was like, just like, it's Sombra! Oh my gosh! It was just a really cool moment to see that again. It was awesome. And wow, yeah, the future of Overwatch looks bright. I mean, we didn't even get to talk about the skins they just teased on. I think it was a Chinese Overwatch official Blizzard Facebook page. They look interesting. There's some definitely different designs than we've seen them kind of go. So I'm excited to see what all encompasses this event. And we're less than a week away, so we're almost there.
Yeah, I was really surprised about a couple of things. First, I thought that the anniversary video, they were actually going to release the full video for the Sombra tease or the Sombra reveal without the actual like Sombra part, because I'm like, I still want to know what that video is about.
It was actually pretty cool. Like the whole, like them saying, like going live when they first opened the service, them showing that whole part, that was actually really cool. So who knows, maybe they'll eventually release that for us.
Yeah. So like, that was really cool. Second, the new skins, I'm concerned, although there is a new Zarya one that was released revealed that I am pretty stoked about. So pretty excited about, the Zarya one, but the, no joke, the Pharah one looks like A cloth gear that you can get in Missa Pandaria. It's like dungeon level gear. I remember it distinctly. It's kind of nuts about that. And then, you know, the soldier one, okay, whatever. It's like a orange. It looks like a really crappy liquid cooled computer in this sense.
And his speed. He has like, I don't know. It's weird.
It might be like a Sombra.
Hopefully we get a comic to explain it or
a soldier Hanzo hybrid kind of thing, because, you know, Hanzo doesn't have ankles either, apparently. So it's kind of interesting, but, you know, in the end, I'm really excited about all the new events. That starts May 23rd through June 12th. And if you've got friends or family who haven't dove in and bit the bullet and gotten some Overwatch bought Overwatch. There is a free Overwatch weekend coming to all platforms May 26th through May 29th. Rosh, you haven't bought the game for console yet, so you can hop on console again for the free weekend?
Well, I don't think so, because my roommates actually both have Overwatch on PS4. So anytime that I want to play on console, I have it, and I don't actually have an Xbox, so I can't test it on Xbox, but I have the liberty, or I guess the punishment, of having the option to play on console if I ever want to or get bullied into it. So,
well, you should just do it. You need to get an Xbox, though. You need to be on it on Xbox. You and Katie would be a dynamic healing duo that I think a force that could not be reckoned with in this world. I don't think the world is ready for that. So that's going on. And then also, kind of a side note, but also kind of something good to know. Destiny 2 was the gameplay reveal, gameplay premiere trailer, and they had the whole event today. Why are we talking about this on an Overwatch podcast? Well, it's actually going to be included. Destiny 2, you're actually going to launch it from the Battle.net or Blizzard launcher or whatever they're going to call it in 6 or 7 months. And that's kind of a big deal. Jimmy, you're the resident Blizzard fanatic. You've been into Blizzard games and all of them probably longer than any of us. So what does this mean?
It just seems like a natural fit. I mean, there's a lot of crossover from players I've seen between Destiny and Blizzard games. And I know a lot of people at Blizzard absolutely love Destiny. Obviously, this, from a business standpoint, this makes complete sense for Activision to be putting this on exclusively for PC on the Battle.net client store, whatever you want to call it, because they don't have to build that from scratch now, which is super cool for them. And just the fact that it's going to integrate with your friends list on Battle.net is going to be a huge marketing boon just for the game itself. Because you already see people online now, you're like, oh, your friend's playing Warcraft or whatever. Oh, I haven't played that in a while. Maybe I can hit them up and do some quests or something. It's going to be free advertising for Destiny 2 all the time there. And all I hope for is that they up the friends list limit.
Adding another game. I personally have a lot of friends that play Destiny 2, but I know you guys do. And I know a lot of people who do have friends who are really into Destiny 2. And that's huge, because I think we're all already fighting for those friend spots on each other's list. So it's just going to add more. So hopefully they'll add more room to that, and we can hope for that in the future.
It's going to be definitely jarring at first to see a non-Blizzard game in the launcher, but I think it's good. In the little Q&A that they put up on the Blizzard site basically reassured everyone that this is kind of a one-time thing, at least for now, from what it sounds like. And it's interesting that they're only providing the support for the login and friend list and the client itself. Mm-hmm. All the other support and server stuff is being handled by Bungie itself. So don't worry about them taking too many resources away from Blizzard. But it's interesting. I like it. I can understand why people might not like it, but I am all for this going forward.
Yeah, as long as they address the friend cap on the friends list, I'm all for it. I can't imagine... I hate a reason to use Steam. It's just so finicky and annoying to me. Yeah. And I know that might be like sacrilege, but I vastly prefer the Blizzard launcher. So, so good for them. Overwatch is also a $1 billion franchise in its first year of existence, at least publicly. And in the earnings call, Mike Morhaime specifically thanked DJ Tyrant and Kick Tripod for all the loot boxes that they purchased this last year, because it was a lot of loot boxes. It was a lot.
Funding a lot of lattes, I think, now at the Starbucks on Blizzard campus for Jeff from the Overwatch team.
Right. Yeah, it's that's a big deal, though. I mean, I don't know how long it took the other franchises to get to a billion.
Well, I don't know about as much as a billion how long it took the other, but Hearthstone just celebrated reaching 70 million players, and Overwatch has been out for a year and just celebrated hitting 30 million. And Hearthstone has been out for how long?
and it's free to play.
Three, 4 years.
And it's on mobile. Yeah, yeah. And it's on Mac.
Oh my goodness. Yeah, that too.
It's insane. I'm not sure how long it took them to hit a billion, but it's pretty crazy how fast Overwatch has grown.
Yeah, and I know this won't ever be public knowledge, but I'd just love to see what percentage of that is actually loot boxes, which is just such a huge profit margin for them.
I think they actually said something in the article that the 1 billion, they even mentioned you know, how much of it was coming from in-game loot box or in-game purchases. And I think they said somewhere near it had grown 25% since the addition to in-game purchases and events and stuff like that. So they didn't give any exact numbers and they didn't necessarily say this is all because of loot boxes. But the idea is there that it definitely did help.
That's a lot of money is all I gotta say.
Yeah.
Yeah,
oh,
it's a lot, especially for a just fully paid game, right? $40 or $60 minimum, depending on what's going on there. So it's kind of nuts when you think about it. We picked the right game to podcast about because as long as it keeps pumping out numbers like that, it's not going anywhere anytime soon. That's good for us. All right, last bit of news before we jump into the esports news and then go back into more news. So Jeff Kaplan, this was absolutely hilarious, but Jeff Kaplan sat down with Wired, I believe it was, and for 20 minutes straight just answered Twitter questions on the video. And so apparently, number one, at @OWSupport_JK on Twitter may or may not be Jeff Kaplan now. We'll have to see if it's just like the temporary Wired things or if we'll see him go from there. I haven't checked today to see if he's tweeted since. But he sat down and he's kind of done this a little bit. He casted, I think it was IGN. He was casting one of their internal
other games.
Yeah, so like that was hilarious. And then he did like a mean tweets kind of thing like Jimmy Kimmel does, but for comments.
Real quickly, just sorry to butt in, but I just went to the Twitter account and it is just an archive now. They just updated it and said it's not an official Overwatch account. So just links to the video. So sorry to crush your dreams there, but
I was so ready for Jeff on Twitter. I think the world... Yeah. The world doesn't deserve that. We're not a good enough civilization for Jeff Kaplan on Twitter. So he's not there, but some of these answers were pretty hilarious. My favorite, and I'm in complete agreement with him, all the Overwatch heroes do believe that pineapple belongs on pizza, and they are correct.
Yes,
Hawaiian pizza is a pizza.
Oh my goodness.
It belongs and it is the right
thing. I just don't understand how this creates so much controversy and strife between people.
I don't know either. You guys are wrong. How does anybody see that?
Just eat what you like.
I
don't care that you don't like it. Just don't hate on me enjoying it.
No, it's wrong. And I need to tell you that you're wrong. And it's just off. It just shouldn't even be allowed. It's just awful. My one question, though, is he says all Overwatch heroes like pineapple on pizza. How does Bastion eat pineapple pizza? And how do you know, even if he can figure out a way to eat it, how do you know that he likes it, or was he just programmed to like it, or like what? So I'm just going to call fake
questions.
News, and so I'm going to leave it at that.
Number one, just because a Overwatch hero believes in pineapple as a topping for pizza doesn't mean that they have to eat it, number one. So let's dispel.
Said he enjoys that all the heroes enjoy pineapple on pizza.
Didn't say like they enjoy it firsthand. He's like, I enjoy the color of it.
Oh,
who knows?
Oh my gosh. Okay. Okay.
Sure.
I think that might be the next Overwatch comic is Bastion and
them all sharing pineapple
Zenyatta
pizza.
Enjoy pineapple pizza.
We're going to get pineapple pizza.
Like half our
Overwatch
Twitch chat
now.
Is leaving the show.
Yeah.
Sorry, guys.
Darn.
See you later.
Didn't want
you
here anyway.
Liking something as despicable as pineapple on pizza. Oh, Lord.
Oh my god.
But yeah, right. it was good.
Anyways, so that was my favorite answer. Because it's okay with Overwatch Heroes and it's okay with Jeff. It's okay with me. So, any other really good answers that stuck out to you guys?
I think one of the questions were, why does everybody, you know, see Roadhog as big and lovable and friendly and cuddly and their favorite, when in the lore, he's supposed to be mean and has an attitude and big and a monster and all of this. And he's like, and basically he said, well, you know, you guys as the fans tend to take the stories and twist them and make your own stories and form your own opinions. And we love that. Like, you've turned D.Va into a Mountain Dew chuggling gremlin. And I think it was kind of perfect. And I think it goes to the way that Blizzard just loves the creativity and loves seeing what everybody does. So I thought that was pretty cool.
Yeah, cool. Anything for you, Jimmy?
The question about Reaper. Just the question was really funny. I know almost zero Overwatch lore. Why is Reaper just standing there creeping on family in the shadows like a 15-year-old goth? And it's a screenshot from the Christmas comic with him just sitting in an alleyway staring.
Like soaking in the shadows. Yeah, it was
And basically they just said, we don't want to reveal all of Reaper's backstory immediately, but it's a story we're compelled to tell over time. # it's a secret. Thanks, Jeff, from the Overwatch team.
Yeah. Hey, was that Jeff from the Overwatch team? All right, let's go into it. So that's going on to, of course, all the links to everything we just talked about are in the show notes. So feast your eyes and ears on that. Let's go into Overwatch Esports. Rosh, you got the sounder this week.
Overwatch Esports.
That's good. That was great.
There you go.
ASMR on the Payload podcast.
Oh, my goodness.
Jeez. Wow.
She's going to get that explicit warning on iTunes.
Thanks a lot, Rosh.
You put me on the spot. What do you want me to do?
I don't know. Anyways, we've got lots of esports talk. We're not even going to talk about results and things like that because it just got overshadowed. And it all doesn't even matter before Overwatch League.
Yep.
In the end, such an awful closing act for BlizzCon. I'm just going to say it right now. Anyways, so it wasn't
worse than Blink-182, which was awful.
You know, but at the end of the day, we're not getting into it. All right.
Sorry.
Blizzard a dedicated division to handle Overwatch League. All of it. That's not a surprise, but it finally has kind of come out in the open that there will be a dedicated division dedicated just to Overwatch League. And again, that just continues to give credit to the size and weight of Overwatch League as far as Blizzard's investment in it as the future of absolutely Blizzard esports, but esports in general. However, despite this awesome news, teams have been dropping like flies in May. This is just since May 2nd. Fnatic, Dignitas, LG Loyal, Splice, Complexity, TSM, Red Reserve, and Denial have all either shipped off rosters or completely cut off their Overwatch team division completely. However, there's been a lot of rumors going on. It even reached ESPN Esports and Yahoo Esports that teams have been hesitant to buy into Overwatch League, citing Jimmy's favorite term. Jimmy, what's that term?
Unnamed sources.
Citing unnamed sources that spots are going for up to $20 million with no revenue sharing until 2021. For context, the League of Legends team spots in the League Championship Series mostly recently went for $1.8 million there. Now, we've in the past talked about a figure between $5 million and $15 million, no doubt larger than the $1.8. But I think you can make the argument that Blizzard's scope for Overwatch is a little bit larger the league, like long term, what they're trying to do. They're after traditional sports ownership. The Kraft family, owner of the Patriots, are, you know, looking at getting involved. So after this is going on, then Blizzard responds and says, the goal of the Overwatch League is to create an exciting Overwatch esports ecosystem that's accessible, sustainable, and rewarding. The league is being built on the best elements of esports and traditional sports, and Blizzard is working with Bo to support such an unprecedented structure and to also think twice about statements from what, Jimmy?
Unnamed sources.
Exactly. Who may try to leverage the media, misinform the general population to use as bargaining tactics or for other competitive reasons. And conversations with esports and traditional sports teams are going well. Also, in the initial kind of ESPN esports article, the teams have all said to the unnamed sources have said, there's a lot of people who want to get in on this, but the price is a little too rich for their blood. And that tends to be the sticking point, is price and when profit sharing exists. Jimmy, esports analyst over here, what's your take here, bud?
Oh my goodness, there's a lot to unpack here. Just going back to the amount of teams that have dropped out, you can think of this in either two ways. You can think the sky is falling and these teams want nothing to do with Overwatch after seeing the terms of Overwatch League and such, or they saw the terms for the Overwatch League and they're structured in such a way that, like we've been hearing talked about a lot, is that it's going to be very regional. And so they're dumping their teams now in preparation of picking up some sort of regional team or players in that region in some way. I mean, there's just, oh my gosh, there's so much to unpack here. And 20 million sounds like an insane number to me that I have a hard time believing it. But the fact is that at BlizzCon last year, when they announced Overwatch League, they had a ton of big name sports executives there. The Kraft family was there. I think, some of the Golden State Warriors executives were there. I mean, it was like 20 to 30 really, really high up people in traditional sports that Blizzard kind of rolled out the red carpet for them they to courted, show them what they're doing. Yeah, they're trying to court them. And from what another report that I was reading, it might have been the same one though, is that Bobby Kotick from the CEO of Activision Blizzard is basically trying to court all these people, and they were saying it's taking up like 50% of his work time. So, I mean, Activision Blizzard as a whole is all in on this, and that's obvious by the division to handle Overwatch League, which, if you're like me and you go through their jobs page all the time at Blizzard, you could have seen this 6 to 12 months ago, or not 12 right. months, but you know what I mean?
Yeah.
But yeah, I'm definitely a little worried because of these reports about Overwatch League, but I'm just waiting for them to announce something, because it's a lot of vagueness, especially in the official response from Blizzard. It's kind of like a wait and see, and we promise we're doing the right thing, but
I think everybody is just holding their breath right now. So there's like a lot of people that are just incredibly wary of what's going on, especially with all these teams dropping, because from an outstander or from an outsider's perspective, which is all we have, because we don't have the numbers, we don't have inside reports, we don't have actual sources showing these numbers and stuff, that from our perspective, we see 9 amazing teams or 9 big teams, big organizations dropping their teams, but we don't know what's going on. So all we could do is cross our fingers and hope and pray that everything is going well and these teams are being dropped, not because they're completely disinterested in Overwatch League, but like Jimmy said, it's more regional. They don't want to put a team together under contract, put salary and all of that good stuff for a team that they're going to have to change based on region for Overwatch League. So we can hope. Hopefully they don't screw this up, but I have faith. I'm going to have blind faith in Blizzard this time.
Yeah, to me, it feels a lot less like the sky is falling and more like the waters are rising a little bit. And the smaller organizations who aren't able to field and get agreeable terms yeah. at an affordable price are saying like, we can't do this. I'm really curious to see. So let's say we get a New England Patriots Overwatch team, just hypothetically. I'm really interested to see where these esports organizations will exist. Now, we've seen like the Miami Heat do some stuff with Misfits, right? Where it's they're integrated and basically Misfits is the esports division of the Miami Heat organization. We also have, I believe, the Boston Bruins are also, I forget the name of the esports organization. That they are
Dignitas with Boston Celtics, I think, or something like that. I don't know. There's
yeah,
a lot.
Something like
there's
that.
A there's, of there's a stuff lot like that.
Who are like integrating that way. And there might be some who are like, we're going from, you know, scratch. Maybe that's what the New England Patriots do. But it feels very weird to imagine a world in Overwatch esports where TSM and Complexity are not a part of that organization, that situation. But the New England Patriots and other professional sports organizations are. So I guess we'll just have to see. In the end, all I would say is the sky isn't falling, but I would get your flood boots ready because
I would say the biggest indicator of that the sky isn't falling is I don't think that Monty and Doa would have hitched themselves so much into Overwatch League if they didn't think it was going to be successful. And there are people who have been around esports behind the scenes, in front of the camera, all that for many, many, many years, especially Monty, who was deeply involved with Riot and
got burned, they dropped the League of Legends stuff just for Overwatch.
So I feel like unless Blizzard lied to them about promises or something like that, I think I believe in them and their judgment on this.
Yeah.
Is basically what it is.
Now it's still up to like debate if like Overwatch League is just kind of an esports pipe dream ahead of its time. The world isn't ready for it. But if anyone can, you know, kind of pull it off, it's Blizzard and a franchise that in 1 year has hit $1 billion in revenue. Like that's nothing to sneeze at, where, you know, these other professional esports games are, you know, free to play and all this kind of stuff. So we'll have to see what's going on. But yeah, that's happening. And we'll of course keep you updated here on the payload as we find out more info. So Dev Post this week. So we do have a lot going on in Dev Post. Honestly, I couldn't even handle it all. So I grabbed two big updates from the developers for Blue Posts and such. First, saving and exporting highlights are the current focus of the Overwatch featured team. That's according to Jeff Kaplan. We'll have more details expected early this summer, which who knows when
next
that
month?
Is. Because it's May. It's May.
Come on, next month.
Maybe we'll get something for anniversary. Who knows? So that's the first thing.
Never
Second
know.
Thing, the Overwatch moderators, the r/Overwatch moderators over on Reddit got to sit down and do a Q&A with Jeff Kaplan. And lots going on here. Rosh, you want to break down some of the goodies for us? And we'll just kind of cut in wherever.
Yeah, there are a lot of interesting questions over there. So if you haven't read it, it's worth, even though we're going to go over some highlights, it's worth taking a peek because there's some good answers, there's some serious answers, there's some funny answers, there's some troll answers. Overall, it's a really good read. So if you haven't taken a look, you should. Basically, Jeff Kaplan goes over a few pretty important points and pretty important questions going forward. Basically, he said that someone asked if the Overwatch is looking into releasing DLCs or any kind of sequels for Overwatch. Jeff Kaplan basically gave his shrug that means we're not going to say no, that we don't want to ever do this in the world of possibilities on this planet Earth, but we don't really dislike splitting the player base off between DLCs and sequels. So we kind of like keeping the idea of everybody being able to play the same matches on the same maps because of what they originally invested. They don't like splitting off that. So that he does, he's not really for the idea, but he didn't write it off as impossible. Something else that someone else asked is, as Overwatch is growing, how do you guys feel about mods and modding the game? And Jeff said, the engine's super, super new, so he's not really close to that feature. But he said that sometime in the future, using the term years plus, that that might be down the line. He also said that incentivizing competitive might have been a mistake. They definitely don't want to incentivize it more. The game mode should be incentive and not the rewards to get the right players there. So I think that you look like you had something to say, John.
I was just going to wait for you to finish, but then I'm going to interject.
No, it's okay. Interject. But to get the right players there, which I kind of like. What were you going to say?
Yeah, well, I mean, that was something. So this is something that I've been struggling with a little bit. And even playing in competitive, I tanked my rating. I played with some friends who were doing placements and stuff. And I went from like 26, 25, 97. I went from there. I'm down back at like 2004. It's awful. But we're doing that. We're trying to play competitively. We're trying to hero swap. We're trying to do that. And the thing I keep hearing more and more from people is just like, dude, you're ruining our fun. Just let me play what I want to play and let me do. And I'm like, that's fine. I want you to have fun. Okay. All right, Chad. Okay. Come here. I want you to have fun. I want you to have fun in Overwatch. I really do. I want you to have the most fun in the world. Okay. I do. But when you're in a competitive game mode, fun is winning. Try to win. Just try to win. That's all I'm asking. I'm not saying be the best Winston in the world. I'm not saying that, okay? I'm not saying be the best. I'm just saying if you're clearly not doing well on a hero and you're causing your team to lose, the best thing to say is not, dude, you're ruining my fun. Let me play what I want to play. And don't get mad at people when they ask you to switch. Don't get mad at me when I start yelling at you and playing soundboard sounds to get you to switch in team chat. Okay. Is that okay? Okay. Sorry. I just could not believe it. Like, yes, it's a game. Yes, you should be having fun. But if you're not like there to work as a team and try to win and try to climb SR and try to do that,
then why are you in ranks?
Then don't
why
play competitive.
Yeah.
Then don't. Unless you're like, I want to go where the five other people try so that I can do my own thing, because in quick play, all six people aren't trying. Like, that's where you belong, sir. That's where you belong. Also, another tripod rant here for a second. Rosh, I'm going to ask Grandmaster here. We didn't set this up at all. We didn't. You have no.
So I know. Rush. I actually have no idea what's going to happen.
You're in gold. You're playing in gold. Okay. And so already you're like, I can see that tear running down your cheek, Rosh. But anyways, so you're playing in gold. You're on offense on Eichenwald. They set up a Bastion, Torbjorn, Symmetra, May, Reinhardt, and I think they had like a Mercy or something. Some healer there. Mm-hmm. They're holding that choke really hard. You're getting wrecked at the choke every time. Does a dive comp make sense?
I mean, I know the answer you want to give me, but I don't want to give you the answer. Yes, no. As much as I don't want to agree with you, it would make sense. So why would you want to go through a choke of Symmetra turds when you can dive past them and not give the Symmetra ult and then rush the Bastion and the Torb?
The guy, he was in a three stack and he goes, you can't dive comp a Symmetra Torbjorn. And I was like, what? Whoa. Why not?
What?
clearly not a listener of the payload.
He's like, go watch any video on YouTube. And I'm like, dude, I'll get Skyline on my show. I'll email you the episode and the timestamps. Anyways.
Oh my goodness.
Yep. That was a couple one-star reviews for the show. So I'm sorry. No, I'm just kidding. I never talk about the payload on the in-game. Anyways, I'm so sorry. But competitive mode is for people who want to win. Let's just leave it at that. People who want to win, not that they
and you
can't
can have
learn.
Fun. You can have fun doing that, but it's competitive. There are going to be characters that aren't best for competitive, and there are going to be characters that are in meta. That's every single competitive game with a ranked system out there. Give me one video game that you can play 100% of every single character item in that game, and it will be on par with everything else. But you could still have fun. If you are looking at playing offensive Symmetra and on every single map, then you're not looking for the competitive aspect. You're looking for the fun aspect, which you should play in quick play. I don't mean to hurt anyone's feelings, but you don't go into competitive unless you're trying to be competitive. So
you heard it here first from Rosh, put eloquently and nicely. Don't make us say this again. All right. So I was going to ask Jimmy. So Jimmy, like, how do you feel about like the current incentives? Because at the same time, I don't feel like people are hanging out in silver, gold, platinum, diamond, be like, I'm going to get that animated spray, bro. But I do feel like they are, you know, going to get those competitive points, right?
So yeah, I think the competitive points weapons. Is the incentive he's talking about. And that's the only way to be able to get that. And for it being such a kind of flashy visual thing, and something that's kind of permanent on your character versus a spray, which is kind of whatever. I don't know if it's too much. It's kind of a nice to have, though, to reward competitive players. And it's this weird balance that they have to go through, especially, I mean, this is just a game design conundrum for any game developer. And I don't think it's a bad thing. I'm really surprised that Jeff kind of walked back their decision on that a bit, which is a little
it makes me worried.
Surprising. Yeah.
I hope that they don't like go down in the future and try and de-incentivize competitive because that's kind of the basis of competitive. Yes, you're playing to show that you're higher ranked so you can show like compared to your friends, but if you're competing and you're not getting a kind of reward at the end, it kind of takes away a lot of the drive to compete and to be competitive. So I hope that they don't go back on this. It kind of makes me worried that he worded it.
I think it would be hard to kind of take stuff away from competitive players for incentivizing that. I mean,
well, the
animated spray is like a nice to have, but I have no delusions. I have no delusions of grandeur that I'm going to ever get an animated spray.
Right. Well, and it's like Hearthstone is dealing with this right now, especially if you have no interest in like competing in the Hearthstone Championship Tour stuff. Once you hit Legend and get that legendary card back, there's no reason to play. I have my legendary card pack. Or a card back. And do you know how difficult it is sometimes to sit down and be like, cool, let's start at rank 17 again and climb on up?
Yeah.
Like, I get that. And having that incentive there, like imagine if every quarter they came out with a new legendary card back for Hearthstone. You know, that would be an amazing incentive. And I would love for them to do that. I would love to be incentivized. And I like the idea of this idea of competitive points where, you know, at the end of it, Rosh and I probably earned more competitive points than Rosh this season because I seriously played, I think at this point, just under 450 hours.
Mm-hmm. Well, and that's the thing is competitive points isn't really a value of how good you are at Overwatch. It's a value of how much you play.
But you get a bonus for winning and finishing high. So after Rosh gets her Grandmaster bonus.
I had to buy a golden weapon in the middle of the season because I had more. Darn. And there's a cap. there's a cap, so you can only have up to 6,000.
Yeah, 6,000.
And with Grandmaster, you get 3,000. So I think I was at like 3,500 points. So if I hadn't gotten a weapon, I would have wasted points at the end of the season. But yeah, you're probably right, John. You probably got a ton more points during the season than I have, just because the amount of games that you play is way, way, way more than what I've
behind the curve. I got to catch up. We got to catch up. But I meant to say that because I'm not winning more than Rosh. Don't anybody have any weird preconceived notions that I'm winning more than Rosh? I'm just spending a lot of time playing Overwatch. So, anyways, that's going on. Anything else going on from the AMA, Rosh, that we want to hit on?
He did say that some new content will be coming to the vanilla loot boxes, like additional sitting emotes. And I'm assuming that maybe the voice lines that were teased earlier will probably be in the vanilla. And also from 2 weeks ago, we did say that they're adding the Genji skin and the D.Va skin, the police and the police D.Va skin and the Oni Genji skin to the loot boxes. So we can assume that they mean those as well. They'll be adding those. And then also one last point is the team that Jeff Kaplan did say that the team wants to do a statistics API and that some APIs might be designed for different people, players, content creators, web developers, broadcasters, etc. So that was about the highlight for the AMA.
Yeah, there was, this is kind of interesting. It's something that people have been, there's a very limited API right now. If you go to any of the Overbuff, Oversumo apps and websites to track your stats, like they have access through that, through a very limited API that they can plug into. But if you were there in watching the World Cup, the Overwatch World Cup at BlizzCon, there was some amazing behind the scenes stuff that they had that were showing statistics and all these different things
that were really kind of
nuts. And I felt like Jeff was kind of alluding a little bit that we might see this, that type of thing there for broadcasters to be able to check out and casters and things like that. So that, those smaller non-Blizzard Prime tournaments can still have access to some really cool information that brings the game more to life, which is something that I know a lot of people are asking for right now in the Overwatch spectating experience.
Yeah, so. One thing else, it was an obligatory question over at the AFA with Jeff Kaplan. It was an obligatory, where's Doomfist, Jeff Kaplan? When's he being released? And he replied with, all he said was, you got to ask Terry about that one. And Reddit went nuts. Geez. They went crazy saying, it's been confirmed. Jeff Kaplan said it here. It's been confirmed. Terry is Doomfist. So I thought that was a
pretty good
catch. What
if it's a different Terry?
Yeah, maybe he's just feeding into it and they've just totally mind warped us. I just thought it was pretty funny.
Only Jeff could get away with that and like walk away and not just like take everybody off. So that's about it. So lots of stuff, guys. It's been 52 minutes.
I have a super quick reminder, though, for everyone that May 22nd, the Nexus Challenge 2.0 ends for the crossover heroes and Overwatch stuff. I completed mine this week, and this week's is nice. You get 10 loot chests and heroes and 10 loot boxes in Overwatch. I got a legendary in my Overwatch box, one of them.
Nice.
It was credits.
Yeah, but now you have credits for a potential anniversary.
There we go. Yeah, exactly.
One-sixth of an anniversary skin.
22nd, get those done. If you do need some help with that, I'd be willing to help you on my Smurf.
I've done zero.
Yeah, I'll play on my Smurf just so we don't face people who've been playing for years like me.
I've done zero of those Hearthstone games. Overwatch or Heroes games. So
are you okay? Exactly. Let's just name off every Blizzard game.
it's been over 2 weeks since I've had a podcast, and
oh my goodness,
get off my back, okay?
Okay, I'm sorry.
Rosh, you want to host next week?
Sure.
You want to do
yes.
it? Sweet. Rosh sure. is hosting next week. I'm not even joking. show notes are due Tuesday night.
Okay. Oh my gosh. Yes, boss. Oh dear.
I'm not even joking.
And so no one listen to next week's show, please. No one listen next week, please.
You'd probably be really good at it and we just get a bunch of emails be like, can we not have John talk or host or push buttons or anything?
Oh, so, boy.
It might happen. I'll edit it for you, though. So, okay. I have a quick question. We're going to get out of here pretty relatively quick. But I do have a question. And this has been going on a little bit. And Reddit finally had like a full-fledged adult conversation about it and didn't just circle jerk it on the regular subreddit, and that was, does the current SR system, the current SR system that's in place, does it incentivize people to play one or two characters and not switch? Before we go into this too much, it's been confirmed now by Blizzard a few times that the amount of SR you get at the end of a game is based on if you win or if you lose. Obviously, you gain if you win, you lose if you lose. But it is also based on how you do individually. And there was a lot of speculation about, well, what does that mean individually? Is that like based on my other games in the past or how much time I spent on fire or you know, against the opposing team, the more we steamroll them, the more SR we get, kind of thing. And in the end, what they've confirmed and said is that the amount of SR you gain is based on how you performed as that hero on like a bell curve on all other heroes, or on as that hero does in other games of similar ranking. So if Rosh is playing Grandmaster Mercy and she, you know, gains a lot of SR that one game that she outperformed most Mercies at that SR. Or if John tried to play Mercy at Grandmaster, he would obviously lose. Well, if we won, I would still gain it, but I would gain significantly less.
Like 2 SR.
Like, yeah, plus 2. Literally, like,
yeah, it's actually pretty crazy. And I think it kind of does punish flexing and reward means. We talked about it, not last week, since we didn't have the show, but the week before that, about how there should be, how I personally thought that there should still be some tweaks to your SR gains based on performance. I think that they still do have some tweaking that they can do, because for me, for example, if we're running a comp that isn't so Mercy beneficial, yeah, I want to switch to Ana, but if we win, me playing on a character that I'm not as comfortable as Mercy, one, it's going to be hard. It's going to be way harder for me to help the team win on a character that I'm uncomfortable on. But also, I'm not going to get rewarded as much, because even if I'm a decent Ana, I'm not going to be anywhere near the Ana mains at that same SR. So I'm not going to get a lot of rewards for that. And if I lose, heaven forbid we lose, I've done way worse than other Anas at my skill, because I try to benefit the team by switching to a more comp-based support. So why would I want to lose more SR instead of try and play the character that I main, that I'm a lot better at, that we have a better chance of winning on? So that even if we do badly, I lose less SR. So I think that it's becoming really, really popular. I'm not sure if you guys have noticed that, but I've noticed this a lot. People are more inclined to choose Sombra now when there's a match that kind of seems to be pretty more on the losing side, because as Sombra, you can do a lot more to make yourself appear better than under Sombras by hacking people, hacking med packs, so that if you lose, you lose a lot less SR. And so I think people are already taking advantage of this individual performance-based system for SR. And I think that's being branched out into mains and punishing flexing. So I definitely agree. And there should I think that they can tweak it to make it better. I'm not sure how, but I think that there can be some tweaking that needs to be done and should be done.
Yeah, I'm just like, I'm really conflicted about this because I think in like hypothetically, logically, I think this makes sense for a large part of the game. Think about it from like a gold perspective, right? Like, yeah, I want to gain more SR when I'm playing my main. When I'm playing Zarya and I'm carrying, give me a bit more SR, show that I'm doing that, get me out of gold.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But I was actually talking with this, I think it was Joshy on Twitter, and I'm like, I would love if once you got whatever diamond or master or 2250 or 3250, sorry, it just starts, you win or die together. You get 25 points if you win, you lose 25 points if you lose, or something like that. Or if they find a way to make this a little bit more intricate. In the sense of like, okay, cool. Is it just all mercies at this elo? Because if it is, there's a lot of different, you know, things. Mm-hmm. Like if your team, you know, is three tanking, that's going to look a lot different for mercy than it is if you're two tanking or one tanking or no tanking. Like the comp matters. So maybe they're like, well, hey, with this comp as mercy on offense on this map, like, okay, now that starts to make a lot of sense. Did you do well? Did you not? But then then you have to pay attention to your whole other enemy team's comp and how that works. And I just can't see a way where there's a large enough sample size for them to be able to take all those little situations into account and then combine that with all the balance changes and meta changes that happen. So I'm not opposed to the idea philosophically, but I think in the end, you win together or die together, especially when stakes are high in higher elos. I would say, honestly, as soon as diamond, if you can decay down to diamond, there's no reason why you shouldn't have that, you know, same type of system in place for how you win and how you lose.
Yeah, I agree.
Jimmy, what do you think?
It's such a complicated issue, but yeah, It's tough to say one way or the other. I am trusting Blizzard that they know what they're doing here, and I'm sure they have the data to back it up. So I think I'm okay with what they're doing. I mean, if there's going to be, like Rosh was saying, abuses where Sombra is getting dropped in at the end of a match just to try to get less SR lost, Blizzard will see, I'm sure they'll see that trending somehow and do something to prevent against that. Like, oh, you have to have been playing for at least 20% of the match or something. I don't know, something like that to count towards your SR. Continuing the trend of adding stuff that's not on the notes, Scott Mercer did go to the forums and talk about the competitive season 4 when its end date will be. And it did get announced, so it's coming up.
Oh, that's right. I forgot to add that.
May 28th at 5 p.m. Pacific. Figure out what that is in your region, but that's a Sunday night, which is a little interesting. As well as they did say that they're going to add a countdown for the current competitive season and in an upcoming patch. So that's a nice quality of life thing. It seems like a no-brainer.
They also said that the off-season would be shorter than their normal off-season period. So they didn't give an amount unless I missed that somewhere in a
No, they didn't.
Yeah, they didn't say how long, if it would be 4 days or 5 days, but that's weird because
June 1st, we're back.
I wish, because that's my birthday and I'm doing a birthday stream, so I would like to play competitive on my birthday, but unfortunately, the way the seasons have ended, it's weird though, because normally Blizzard likes to do end of season, start of seasons, event starts and stuff on Tuesdays, because that's their patch day for every other game. It makes sense to do it on Tuesdays. But the season's ending on a Sunday, and they said that the off season is going to be shorter than all the other off seasons, and the other off seasons were a week. So are they planning on not starting it on Tuesday? Are they planning on starting it on Friday or something for the weekend? Or I don't know. I'm confused on the timeline, and I wonder why they've suddenly decided to swap off of Tuesdays. So I think it'll be an interesting off season.
Yeah. I'm looking forward to a shorter off season. That's when I get my Hearthstone games in these days. So, yeah. It's, in the end, all that being said, we're still talking about a handful of SR tops, right? Like, I don't know exactly, but let's just say if you win, you get on average between 20 and 40 SR. And let's just say on average, you get somewhere in the middle. I know that's dramatically different in like the highest ELOs, but let's just say hypothetically, you're talking about the difference between 27 or 30 points or 25 and 28 points. So it's probably pretty minimal, but I would love to see Blizzard address SR and just how you gain it.
Or just make it a little more transparent on how exactly it's being calculated.
Yeah, that way we might be able to see and we might be able to prevent getting substantial SR losses or something if we know the calculations.
Right. Yeah. And again, like there's good things about this system too. Like it discourages carrying in a lot of ways, right? Because if you're carrying someone, they're gaining less SR. Whereas if it's flat, everyone gets the same amount, whether you contribute a lot or not. It means that, you know, you can carry and I'll gain the same SR as Rosh. Even if she carries as Mercy while I'm gonna play Roadhog now. So I get it overall. I don't know, guys.
Time is money, friends, and we're almost flat broke.
We gotta get out of here. Whew, feels good to be back. Missed you both. Mm-hmm. Well, we've been hanging out a little bit. Rosh and I, we've been in each other's streams quite a bit. And Jimmy, you've just been busy, bro.
Yeah, it's Jimmy's been crazy.
Oh my gosh. That.
I had a weird week, but I'm back. It feels good to be back. Let's go ahead and get out of here. There was a conversation on Twitter. Rosh, I know you had a question on Twitter about Mercy positioning. We're working on putting together some good segments on specific heroes, and Mercy will probably be one of the first. So it's coming, just coming soon. Emails, of course, if you have questions, comments, things you'd like to hear discussed on the show, send us your emails to thepayload@blizzpro.com. Jimmy, what's going on in Patreon land?
As always, we want to thank our wonderful MVPs, Shadow J.A., Coral, Liam O., Stuart J., and Liang Z. Thank you all so much for helping make the payload possible. We truly appreciate your contributions to the payload and the Patreon. If you like the show and would like to help out a little bit, patreon.com/payloadpodcast gives you all the details on all the rewards and everything we have going on over there. You can also go there to check out the new structure we have there, going to a per episode model versus the monthly thing. A $200 merch store. T-shirts are coming hopefully this week, so stay tuned. On our all social media. Thank you, Jacob S., for becoming a patron. We really appreciate it. And also, make sure you're following us for the news about the merch store on Twitter @PayloadPodcast and on Facebook, Payload Podcast.
Awesome. Rush, what's going on iTunes?
iTunes, we actually don't have any reviews. We haven't had any for a couple of weeks, and we love 5-star iTunes reviews. So take a second and leave a 5-star review if you haven't, and we will mispronounce your name on the next show. You can do so at iTunes, Stitcher, Podcast Addict, and Google Podcasts.
Cool. Sorry, someone typed something to me on Twitch and I got confused. So shout outs for the week. Well, let's go ahead and do that. Jimmy, any shout outs, updates, things you want to pimp?
Yeah.
Where can people find you?
Just find me at DJ Tyrant on Twitter. I should be getting a stream schedule locked down officially soon. So make sure to check that out as soon as it goes up. And that's pretty much it. I'm getting back into the groove of things, getting back into routine after being away for a few weeks. So I'm excited to dig back into everything again. It's been a few weeks away.
Awesome. Rosh, what about you? Shout outs for the week. Where people find you?
Yeah, you can find me at Twitter @F2K_OKItsRosh. You can also find me at Twitch /OKItsRosh. I'm taking today off to prepare for tomorrow, which I guess will be today if you're listening to this tomorrow. It'll be on Friday. So I'm doing a 24-hour stream on Friday at starting around 8 p.m. Pacific. So I will be there for the week. I also want to give a major shout out to everybody who has stopped by my stream from the podcast. It's really, really awesome to be able to put names to the listeners and the downloaders of the podcast. So it's been really, really cool seeing you guys and the support that comes from you guys over at the stream. Also, one more huge shout out to all of the true pizza fans out there for not ordering pineapple with it. That's huge kudos to you. I appreciate you guys. We love you here at the Payload Podcast. We will make Jimmy and John see the light. I feel like they're really shocked right now and they're just not saying anything. Are you okay, John?
Oh my God. I can't wait for you to host the show next week.
Oh, it's gonna be okay. A blast. We're not. I'm just going to. Okay.
Yeah, it's going to be awesome. Make sure to tune in live next week at 7 p.m. Pacific time on Thursdays at twitch.tv/blizzpro because we're going to have Raj hosting next week's show. It's going to be awesome. As for me, shout outs to my fiance.
Ooh.
Katie, love you. And thanks
for
letting me podcast about video
games. I like how you
just
specify who his fiance was. Like, we all know it's Katie, John.
Does everybody?
I think everybody knows.
Anyways.
Now they do.
Anyways. So, shout out there. And, find me on Twitch and Twitter at Kick Tripod. I'm streaming there like 5 to 8 hours a day. Basically, I go until I get such a bad headache from staring at the screen that I can't look at it anymore. So, yeah, we're having lots of fun, though. So, I'm almost at 800 followers. We got there in like 3 weeks, which is pretty cool. Don't worry, we're not doing another drinking stream. We're never doing that again. Anyways, that's going to do it for us. What's that?
No Bob's Burger stream?
Oh, that was a good time.
That was one of my favorites, I gotta say.
Yeah. Well, Katie and I like to stream together, so we'll have to do another one of those after Raj finishes sneezing. And that's going to do it for us.
For it.
Yeah. Not on your recording, you didn't.
No, I did. I muted my whole mic for it, so I don't even pick up on the recording. I got you.
They don't like it when we fight. Chat doesn't like it when we fight.
I'm sorry.
Anyways, right, thanks for tuning in for episode 67 of the Pit. I'm not saying Sid, I'm right. Let's discuss it after. Find more Overwatch stuff throughout the week at overwatch.blizzpro.com. We love you guys. Thanks. We'll see you next week. Hope you had fun. Bye.